Hi, I'm Paul, disciple, thankful believer, finding victory over anger, depression, self-contempt, a few other things, and still arguing with God about who's the Lord of my life. This is lesson, well, let me open with a prayer, and I'm going to pick one of my favorites. It's something I learned. The first Christian weekend I ever went to was back in 1974, and it's where I got introduced to what being a real Christian was like. I was 13 at the time. Anyway, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Jesus, our Messiah and our Lord. Amen, indeed. This is lesson 20, called Daily Inventory. If this is your first time here tonight, welcome. If I do this right, you will walk away with something that will help you. But please remember that this lesson is 20 of a 25-step program, and typically certain things have already happened that would help us understand this lesson. Let's read Principle 7 and Step 10. Number 7 is reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life, and to gain the power to follow his will. 10. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. That's 1 Corinthians 10:12. Doing daily inventory is part of our recovery process. It helps us to see patterns of thinking and acting that we may be in denial about. It also helps us to deal with issues quickly. Ephesians 4:26b states, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." That passage instructs us to keep short accounts. In other words, to deal with our stuff daily. The following 7 questions can help us with our daily inventory, and I am thankful that Erica was able to get this on the handout. It's on the back page. And those 7 questions are, number 1, how did I show love to others? Did I act in an unloving way toward anyone? Number 2, did others see in me the joy of having a personal relationship with the Lord? If not, why not? How is my serenity, my peace? Did anything happen that caused me to lose it? What was my part in it? We had to go through that one, huh? Was I patient and forbearing? What caused me to lose my patience? Do I owe anyone amends? Would anyone say that I was kind or good? In what ways did I act unkind? How was my faithfulness? Did I keep my word with everyone? How is my gentleness and self-control? Did I lose my temper? Speak a harsh word or unkind word to someone? Notice in the 7 questions that there is a sense of balance. Celebrate Recovery always encourage us to maintain a measure of balance in all of these steps. If not, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, would be more than willing to jump in and point out the negative and skip the positive. Question 1, for example, how did I show love to others? Is a positive way to frame that question. My daughter was doing a presentation at her church and 2 or 3 weeks ago, and she chose 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which everyone knows is the love chapter. And as she sent me her notes, she had examples of how her pride had interfered with her ability to show love to others. And she had some good examples. But I asked her, do you have any positive examples? And she said, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, I can remember one time when we were still at our house in Miami. I was in the living room and you were upstairs in your bedroom and the bedroom door was open. And you apparently were on a phone with a girlfriend of yours. You were about 18 at the time, as I remember. And she was planning on having an abortion. And I know that you do not like abortion, so you were giving her reasons why she shouldn't have one. There would be a pause, which the other girl responded, and then you came back with something else, and back and forth. And finally, I heard you say this. Well, then I want to go with you. And there was a pause, because the other girl was probably sputtering, if you don't like what I'm going to do, why would you want to come with me? And my daughter says, I may not like what you're doing, but I love you enough to be there with you when you get it done. Now, I don't know if she used that as an example. I sure hope she did. I go inside a Clackamas County jail every Thursday night with a guy named Keith, and usually at the end of the day, at the end of the hour, rather, Keith gives the invitation. Not all the time, but usually one or two inmates will stand to receive Jesus into their life. My sharing this with you may seem like self-aggrandizement, but it is not. There are times in my life when I get it right. And by remembering those instances, number one, I'm praising God. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul is stating, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who gave the increase. Keith and I alternately plant and water, but when someone stands to receive Jesus, we both know that it is God who's moving them. And that leads to two. That encourages me to keep going on. And that leads to three. I don't allow myself to get beaten up when I make mistakes. Remember in Philippians 4:8, it states that whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That is a good guideline for times of meditation, as well as our daily inventory review. Daily inventory will help us to move from spinning out of control and starting to exhibit self-control. It'll help move us from reaction to positive action. Daily inventory can be done throughout the day. That would be the O in your handout for ongoing. You could do daily inventory at the end of the day. That would be the D in your handout for daily. Having a little notebook and jotting down stuff as it occurs may help. There are some who also review their daily inventory every 2 or 3 months. That would be the P in your handout for periodic. Reviewing our inventory, whether at the end of the day or periodically, allows the Holy Spirit to reveal any patterns about how we act, patterns that we may be in denial about. One day I was leaving Fred Meyer's store in Oregon City. I made a right turn on Beaver Creek Road and moved into the left lane to set up for a left turn that I was going to be making soon. I did not cut in front of the car that was behind me, but that car moves into the right lane probably because I was rolling up to the red light at First Street and not speeding up to the red light. I used to drive for Greyhound, and I got into the habit of not charging red lights. Anyway, the light turns green, and the other car moves ahead quickly and drops into my lane. The other driver did not do anything unsafe, but I was still miffed. Why? Do I still have a problem with pride? Apparently so, or I wouldn't be talking about this. But I can ask the Holy Spirit during my time of prayer and meditation if there are other examples of my being prideful. Keep in mind that pride and denial are joined at the hip. What do we do with this information? Keep in mind that by the time we get to step 20, we already have a sponsor and accountability partners. We can pray with them and ask them for the direction from the Holy Spirit what to do. When and how do I make amends? I know step 10 states, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. But sometimes this involves someone else, and they may be still agitated over what happened. Once I needed to point out a mistake that Martha had made at work. She was the one that I was able to get transferred out of another department because I saw her potential. As I commented about the correction, she seemed agitated, and I assumed it was at me. Because it was Friday afternoon, I did not want to wait until her suds level went down, so I waited till Monday to bring it up. I commented about the previous Friday and said I noticed that she seemed upset. She said she was mad at herself for making a mistake. I remember somehow downplaying the issue then, but I learned from that point on that all I need to do to correct her was just bring up the issue and just let it go and not make an issue out of it. I also believed it helped me to wait for her suds level to go down, and I also learned that by dealing with it, I avoided the misconception that she was mad at me. It was a time, a good while back, my wife and I were pulling into a parking lot at a restaurant, I believe. And as she was pulling into one slot, there was another slot down there that was more convenient for us, and I made a comment. I said, well, you know, there's a parking spot over there. Boom, we get into this discussion. I mean, I'm going over a parking lot. I didn't say that, but I wanted to. Anyway, it was rather virulent. But I didn't say anything at the time. Again, I've learned that wait till a sud level go down before you discuss this. And the following day, I just did not feel led of the Lord to deal with it at all, to be honest with you. But sometime later down the road, when we came talking about something else, I brought it up and I told her that I believe the Lord was telling me that when she was a kid, that her dad had a problem with talking down to her mother in a condescending way. Not all the time, but every once in a while. But frequently enough that it really made an impression on my wife, a very negative one. That I learned from that incident that if I do that, then I'm going to incur the wrath that her father had created. But that's one issue about daily inventory that it says deal with it quickly. It took me a while to deal with that one. So I waited a long time before referring to it. It helps me to seek the Holy Spirit's input as when to deal with items that are brought to my attention. And again, you can use your sponsor and accountability partners for that. There is a progression that helps us to understand daily inventory better. And I'm thankful for Walt and Ted being in the back for setting up the audio and as well as the video for this. And Ted's going to have that progression up here in just a minute. Yes, he is. There we go. Unfulfilled expectations leads to offense, and that leads to anger, and that leads to hatred, and that leads to murder. I'm indebted to Robert Morris for this progression. He's on KNMT Sundays at 4:30. Progressions can also be found in the scriptures. I'm going to paraphrase 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. Faith leads to goodness, which leads to knowledge, which leads to self-control, which leads to perseverance, which leads to godliness, which leads to brotherly kindness, which leads to love, and love leads to an increasing effectiveness and productivity in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I shared this progression about unfulfilled expectations, my sponsor responded by reminding me of what Jesus said in Matthew 5:22. But anyone who says you fool, is in the danger of the fires of hell. Thus, unfulfilled expectations progression helps me to understand what Jesus is talking about here. Daily inventory will help me to identify unfulfilled expectations or offense before they grow into something else. If the third step in this progression is anger, then daily inventory can certainly move me to start looking at what triggers anger. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. That passage has three components. Let's look at the last part first. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That tells me Jesus loves to redeem. Redeem what? Everything. Carolyn Liu, the Wholeness Director for Rolling Hills, stood on this platform a couple of years ago and reminded us that in the New Testament, the word in English salvation is translated from the Greek word sozo, which means wholeness. Excuse me. That wholeness includes our recovery and growth, amongst many other things. The second part, the author and perfecter of our faith. It says pioneer there, but I like my translation says author, and it makes a lot more sense to me. The author and perfecter of our faith tells me that recovery is all about Jesus. Yes, I know that Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And yes, I know that the only definition of faith in the Bible is in Hebrews 11:1. But what really helps me is knowing that fixing my eyes on Jesus is the way to energize that faith. Matthew 14:22 and following relates how about during a storm, Jesus is walking on water to the boat that the disciples were in, and that boat was being buffeted by the waves. Peter, in verse 28, asked Jesus to let him come to Jesus, and Peter starts walking on the water. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus at the time he did this, but he made one simple, monumental mistake. He took his eyes off Jesus by being distracted by the storm. He simply turned his head. Remember that in Matthew 13:22 points out, the cares of the world choke out the word. The cares of the world, meaning circumstances of life and our issues, choke out the word. Peter begins to sink, and Jesus grabs Peter and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus is charging Peter with turning his head away. That reinforces for me that keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus is essential for my faith, my recovery, and daily inventory is one of the many ways that I can be led to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Thank you, and God bless you.